Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's that time here in Spain where we talk to Brett Hansen. How are you, Brett?
Yeah, I'm very good, Howard. What about yourself? How are you?
I'm well, keeping busy, which is great.
Excellent.
Well, inflation here in Spain hit almost 10% in March and then eased a little in April. Is this a positive sign? Meanwhile, in the UK, the Bank of England has issued a rather gloomy inflation forecast and raised its base interest rate again. So let's catch up with the news with Blevins Franks and ask Brett his thoughts on what will happen next. Brett, let's start by looking at the news from the Bank of England, then move to the European Central Bank before finishing here in Spain. So we've got a lot to do. In March, the Bank of England predicted UK inflation could peak at 8% this spring, but it's now said it could hit above 10% and not before the end of the year. What's going on?
So if we take a step back, Howard, and look at what's been going on over the last 9 months or so, prices started rising last summer, largely due to companies struggling to keep up with the rapid increase in demand for both goods and services as developed economies came out of their lockdowns and people started going to shops, restaurants, and traveled again. Basically, they began spending some of the money that they had saved during the lockdown. And companies struggled to meet this supply for a number of reasons, which included a shortage of shipping containers and drivers, which meant transporting goods became more difficult and more expensive. And the lack of state support and a shortage of vaccinations in the emerging or developing economies, which meant they continued to remain in lockdown and were not able to produce a sufficient quantity of the many things that we need and use, such as clothing, semiconductors, and computer chips. And when companies can't keep up with the pace at which people want to buy things, well, prices go up. In economics, this is called the law of supply and demand. Also, it's worth bearing in mind that when we measure inflation, we are comparing the change in prices from 1 year to the next. And for many things, prices were exceptionally low during the height of the pandemic, when we weren't going out, we weren't spending our money, and we certainly weren't going on holiday. Goods and services were much cheaper when we were all in lockdown, because supply was greater than demand, and therefore inflation was incredibly low at that time. So, as last year drew to an end, comparing the higher prices of then to the previous year meant that the differences seemed large. This is referred to as the base effect. And as a result of this base effect coming to an end, and as developing economies opened up to produce goods and the supply of these things increased, it was expected that inflation would actually come down around about now. But unfortunately, what with the terrible events taking place in the Ukraine over the last 3 months or so, we have seen the price of oil and other raw materials increase further. For example, fuel bills alone jumped 54% in April of this year in the UK. And the Bank of England now sees a further 40% increase in October. Hence the belief that inflation could hit 10% in the UK before or around year end. The situation in Ukraine is also having an impact on the production of certain food products, which will also increase inflation further.
On the 5th of May, the Bank of England increased its interest rate again, the fourth time since December, taking it 1%. That doesn't sound high, but it is the highest level since 2009. How does raising interest rates help inflation?
Yeah, so the Bank of England's primary functions are to maintain monetary stability and oversee the financial stability of the UK financial system. And the main way it sets monetary policy is through interest rates. Now, in May 1997, following the general election in which Labour came into power, the Chancellor of the Exchequer at that time, Gordon Brown, wanted to reassure the public that Labour, who I don't think had actually been in power for around 30 years, was serious about managing the economy. And one of the first things he did was to grant the Bank of England independence over monetary policy. So the bank's Monetary Policy Committee was given the responsibility of setting interest rates to meet the government's retail price index inflation target of 2.5%, which later changed to the consumer price index inflation target of 2%. And if inflation overshoots or undershoots the target by more than 1%, then the governor of the Bank of England has to write a letter to the Chancellor explaining why and how he will remedy the situation. Now, an interest rate is in effect the amount of money people get on a savings they have. And so the Bank of England sets interest rates, which is basically the cost to borrow money, and they can therefore control how hot or cold the economy runs. Because when interest rates are low, money is cheaper and easier to borrow, and therefore, in theory, more spending will happen, which will cause prices to rise. Higher interest rates, on the other hand, makes borrowing more expensive and it encourages saving. This means people spend less and this helps push inflation down. So by increasing interest rates, the Bank of England hopes that the public spends less and inflation will reduce over time.
What do you think will happen next in the UK? Will both inflation and interest rates keep rising?
Well, Howard, it's important to understand that changes in interest rates take time to work. But by raising interest rates over the last few months, whilst the Bank of England predicts inflation to continue increasing this year, they are predicting that it will come down next year and even back down close to the 2% target in 2024. As I said before, fuel bills are expected to increase a further 40% in October, and we will have to see how things continue in the Ukraine and the effect that this will have on certain raw materials, foods and fuel prices. But we are expecting to see further rate rises in the coming months. In fact, we are seeing predictions by economists of rate increases to around 2% by the end of the year.
What about inflation in the EU? How's that doing? And will it keep rising too?
Well, across the EU, the harmonised index of consumer prices was 7.5% in April. And whilst this is also high, the European Central Bank has recently tried to reassure lawmakers over the rising prices by saying that the Eurozone is close to reaching peak inflation and that inflation is expected to diminish in the second half of this year, though they do expect energy costs to keep inflation relatively high. Energy prices were up 38% across Europe in April from a year ago, and Russia's energy firm Gazprom halted gas flow to two EU nations for not paying for the commodity in rubles. There are therefore fears that other countries may also be cut off. It's worth bearing in mind that the EU receives around 40% of its gas imports from Russia, And so reduced inflows could hit households hard, as well as companies that depend on the commodity to produce their goods. However, as I've said, the European Central Bank does believe inflation in Europe is close to peaking, and it should diminish in the coming months.
Bearing that in mind, do you think the European Central Bank will start increasing interest rates soon?
Well, there's certainly been comments made by a few central banks in a number of European countries suggesting that the European Central Bank should start looking to increase rates this year. The current interest rate across Europe is minus 0.5%, and it has now been, I think, below zero since 2014. But there does appear to be noises coming from the central bank about increasing rates, and many economists expect a 0.25% increase to only minus 0.25% in July. I would say it's not totally clear because what with the situation in the Ukraine and the lockdowns that we're seeing in China, there are fears that Europe's economy could suffer an economic downturn later this year. And there are concerns that the European Central Bank could start tightening monetary policy on the cusp of a European recession.
And finally, Spain. We saw a very welcome improvement in the official inflation figure in April compared to March. Dare we hope it will continue to slowly improve?
Yeah, it's hard to believe, Howard, that just over a year ago, in April of last year, Spain's consumer price index stood at just 2%. And in March of this year, it hit 9.8%, the highest for 37 years. Whilst, like elsewhere, much of the increase has been down to high electricity and fuel prices, both food and non-alcoholic drinks have risen by nearly 7% over this time. So it is good news that Spain's inflation rate has, well, let's say decelerated by almost 1.5% to 8.4%. And the main reasons for the drop was lower fuel and electricity prices, with the market price of natural gas declining, and the Spanish government subsidising the price of gasoline and diesel. The bad news is that food prices continue to increase in April. Unfortunately, Spain has been one of the countries hit hardest in Europe with regards to inflation over the last year, and the Spanish government recently cut its outlook for economic growth for this year down to 4.3% and just under 3% next year, largely blaming the impact on the war in Ukraine. But they also highlighted the high level of uncertainty in its forecasts, which they said hinged on how long this conflict can last. Let's all hope that the conflict ends soon.
Well, there isn't much we can do to improve our spending power today. But what about the future? Can we protect ourselves from future inflation surges?
I would say that after 10 years of benign inflation, there is no doubt that we have all been affected by the increases over the last 9 months or so. And it does look like it will get worse before it gets better. But the good news is that whilst this increase is lasting longer than first anticipated, it's not expected to be long term. But I think what the last 9 months should remind us is that whilst we cannot predict what inflation will be, say, in 5 years' time, let alone in 10 or 20 years' time, it's always there, even at low levels, and it can seriously reduce our spending power over time if our money doesn't grow, at the very least, at the same rate of inflation. No one is immune from inflation, and we should all plan to protect our savings and future income from the rising costs of living. If you're retiring now at, say, 60, I would say it's important to plan for the next 30 years of retirement, and unless your savings grow each year, they will buy you considerably less as time goes by. For example, if you have, say, €50,000 in a current account with no interest, and inflation is just 3% each year, then after 10 years, its value will have fallen to around €37,000. After 20 years, its value is around €27,500, and after 30 years, it's worth just over €20,000. That's a 59% reduction in purchasing power. So making sure your money, at the very least, lasts as long as you do should be an integral part of your financial planning, certainly for retirement. So it is important to consider investing in assets that can be expected to produce enough growth to at least keep up with inflation. And as we all know, certainly for over the last decade or so, bank interest rates cannot be expected to do this. In fact, many savers have been earning negative real rates of return in recent years. And whilst listeners are likely to become more adverse to investment risk in retirement, remember that inflation is also a big risk to your savings. But you can reduce investment risk to more comfortable levels by obtaining an objective analysis of your attitude to risk, and then build a suitable, well-diversified portfolio around your risk tolerance, time horizon, circumstances, and objectives. And then holding your investment portfolio within an arrangement that is tax efficient in Spain will help protect your capital from unnecessary taxation as well as inflation.
But Evans Franks are holding seminars this week. Can you remind us where they are? And also, will they be covering this inflation topic?
Yes, we have three seminars in Spain this week, and they will discuss investing to reduce the impact of inflation on your long-term wealth. Other topics which they will cover include the importance of qualified and regulated advice and tax and estate planning solutions. I believe you can obtain more information about these seminars and reserve your place online by visiting the seminar page on our website, www.blevinsfranks.com. You'll also find the local office numbers on each seminar page so that you can give them a call to see if they can squeeze you in. And of course, if you would like to talk to your local Blevins Franks partner about anything we have discussed today, then you can also find their details on our website.
And indeed, the seminars they'll be in Nerja on Tuesday, moving along to Vera in Almeria on Wednesday, and Algorfa in Alicante on Thursday.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.